live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the HSE will start vaccinating 12 to 15-year-olds against COVID-19 this weekend. Nurses say they're becoming increasingly concerned about the situation in overcrowded hospitals that are suffering from a lack of airflow and ventilation. The president of LOAIT outlines the restrictions that third-level students there will face when they return to in-person education next month. Social welfare spending increased by 46% last year compared to 2019. Largely as a result of the pandemic, and the home care service provider Home Instead announces 60 new jobs in Donegal as part of a nationwide expansion. Later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with confirmation that the HSE will start vaccinating 12 to 15-year-olds against COVID-19 this weekend. The registration portal for that age cohort will open on Thursday. Appointments will be offered immediately. Over the weekend, 9,000 people got their first dose at walk-in vaccination centres. Donegal GP Dr. Dennis McCauley heads the IMO's GP committee. He says getting this age cohort vaccinated will be a significant step.
I think it is positive news. I think it's once again at the hopefully the end of a long journey where the uptake of the vaccine has been excellent, even in the age groups from 16 to 20. It has been really wonderful. This is the final stage, hopefully, of the vaccine process. Parents will now look at the evidence and decide if they want to have the vaccine given to their child.
Nurses say they're becoming increasingly concerned about the situation in overcrowded hospitals that are suffering from a lack of airflow and ventilation. There were 381 patients waiting beds in hospitals across the country this morning, 39 of them in the northwest, 13 patients waiting at Letterkenny University Hospital, 6 of them on emergency department trolleys. At Sligo University Hospital, 26 people waiting, of those 19 on trolleys in the emergency department. INMO General Secretary Phil Nihay says the situation is very worrying.
When you consider overcrowding at that level, in normal times it would be considered very serious, but during a pandemic, when we have an airborne infection, it's extremely dangerous. Our members are telling us that they're working in environments that are not safe, very concerned about the normal health and safety measures, particularly airflow, ventilation.
The Scottish First Minister admits she's nervous about the fact that most restrictions have been lifted in Scotland. From today, nightclubs have reopened for the first time in more than a year, and rules on social distancing have been relaxed. However, face masks will still be required in shops and on public transport. Nicola Sturgeon believes they'll be needed for some time to come.
It helps to keep other people safe, and we get protected by other people wearing face coverings. And, you know, some people are more vulnerable to COVID than others, so by all of us wearing face coverings, we make the environment a bit safer for those who perhaps have that greater vulnerability.
The president of Letterkenny Institute of Technology has outlined the restrictions that third-level students there will face when they return to in-person education next month. The return of students will feature a full return to lecture halls and classrooms for the first time since the pandemic started. Speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show, LOAIT President Paul Hannigan said the wider return of students to campus is possible for three reasons.
And it's based on three things, really. One is that higher education and further education, etc., has now been deemed an essential service. Second one is that there's a desire from both staff and students to get back on campus through various different services that have been carried out. And also the speed of the vaccination program has meant that the majority of the students coming back and staff should be vaccinated by the time we return to campus.
Just in relation to that, just to get it out of the way, do staff have to declare their vaccine status, or would students be expected to?
No, that was the same answer as we had the last time. I think that's been clarified by the department in the last few days. That's not the case.
And you would see that as important, would you?
Well, I think it's something, you know, we can't demand from people in terms of what their vaccination status is. That's their own personal choice. But I would expect that the large majority of both staff and students will be vaccinated.
Right. So in terms of returning as much as possible to normal, how is that going to work?
Well, I think, you know, we put a lot of mitigation in place previously in terms of preparation for getting students back on campus. So all those things are still in place. We've also looked, you know, around ventilation in major rooms, et cetera, and improved those facilities. So, you know, we've done a lot in terms of preparation. We'll have to fine tune that over the next number of weeks now before students begin to return in September. But we're confident that we can do that and we can work towards the individual opportunities that are within the national framework to make it work for Letterkenny IT, both in Letterkenny and Killybegs.
And that was Paul Hannigan speaking on the 9 till noon show earlier today. 1,031 new coronavirus cases have been reported north of the border today, with an additional 8 COVID-related deaths, 245 patients being treated for the disease in hospitals in Northern Ireland, 41 of them in intensive care. Social welfare spending increased by 46% in Ireland last year compared to 2019, largely as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The annual statistical report on social welfare services has just been published. It shows that Donegal received almost €270 million in pandemic-related payments in 2020. With more, here's Daniel Brennan.
Of the €30.6 billion spent on social protection payments last year, €9 billion of that was dedicated to the pandemic unemployment payment, with 30% of total government spending dedicated to social protection payments as a whole last year. Also, pension spending increased by 3.5% year-on-year in 2020, with almost 670,000 people receiving pension payments from the state at a cost of €8.5 billion. 23,000 people received the state pension in County Donegal. €176 million, meanwhile, was spent on the pandemic unemployment payment alone in County Donegal last year, and including other wage subsidy schemes, the pandemic-related payments to Donegal residents totaled just over €269 million.
The home care service provider Home Instead has announced the creation of 60 new jobs in Donegal as part of a nationwide expansion that will see 1,000 additional jobs created across the country. They say the expansion will allow them take on an extra 2,000 clients across the country. Oliver McBride is the regional manager at Home Instead. He says demand for home care services has never been higher.
We're looking for caregivers right across the whole area of Donegal. We've currently quite a demand for services in rural and towns throughout Donegal. So yeah, we're looking for caregivers, recruiting right across the complete county.
And indeed, as we know, there are a growing amount of older people who require different care needs. Perhaps they do not want to go into a nursing home. They want to keep their independence within their own homes, and Home Instead services would help them achieve that.
Exactly, yeah. I suppose the focus has really come on to the whole home care sector over the last 18 months, 24 months with the onset of COVID. Obviously, home is the best place for people to age, and that's where, you know, where people really want to spend their time in the latter years of their lives. So it's crucial, and I think research and everything has really shown that it is the best place for people to stay safe and to live a long, healthy life. I suppose the demand for our service is huge at the moment. We would currently have around 4,000 caregivers throughout Ireland. We'd be providing care to over 7,000 vulnerable people throughout the length and breadth of Ireland at the moment. In Donegal, the demand for our services has never been greater. We would do quite a lot of work with the HSC, but not only with the HSC, we work quite a lot with private families too, who would be looking for our services. So we've never seen such demand for our services.
And that was Oliver McBride of Home Instead. A woman who tragically lost her family in a drowning accident in Donegal last year is hopeful that a new community facility in Moville will go some way toward thanking people for their support over the past 12 months. Geraldine Mullen's husband John, as well as their two children, Tomás and Amelia, died after their car entered the water as they were travelling past Loch Foyle in August of last year. The nurse who works at Letterkenny University Hospital has now established the Mullen Hope Centre in their memory at the family's former garden centre business in Moville. Geraldine told Shannon Side today that every day without her family is a struggle.
I'm not going to belittle the fact I am heartbroken, and every day is a constant struggle. And I suppose every day I look for a little bit of strength and courage to keep going. So, you know, it is going to be difficult to get up each day and keep going. But I do it for John, Tomás and Amelia, and like that, by giving back to the community. There is, in essence, some healing in that, because they've minded me these last 12 months.
Human activities are the indisputable cause of climate change. That's according to a new UN report. It warns that a sustained reduction in carbon emissions is urgently needed to reduce the impact on the planet. With more detail, here's Casey O'Riordan.
Scientists belonging to the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change have found that there are unprecedented changes in every region of the world. It's warned that if nothing changes, global warming of between 1.5 and 2 degrees will occur by the end of the century, with just a half a degree of change enough to significantly impact the climate. The IPCC's Valerie Maison del Motte says climate change can be slowed down.
To limit global warming, strong, rapid and sustained reductions in CO2, methane and other greenhouse gases are necessary.
Environment Minister Eamon Ryan says the plan for how Ireland will achieve its commitment to reach net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050 will be published shortly.
It will be switching away from the use of fossil fuels. In transport, it changes the way we organise ourselves, and it means less transport, but better planning and better access to services and better sense of community.
The report authors are now pleading with world leaders to carefully consider the report ahead of its global climate summit later this year, which will bring countries together to accelerate action against climate change.
A man has died following a two-vehicle collision on the Glenshane Road between Dungiven and Mahara this morning. The collision involved a silver-coloured Volvo car and a tanker lorry. It was reported to police at 20 past five this morning. Emergency services attended the scene and the driver of the Volvo was pronounced dead. The driver of the tanker was taken to hospital for treatment for what are believed to be non-serious injuries. There has been condemnation after life-saving equipment was vandalised along the Strabane Canal over the weekend. The chair of the local PCSP, Councillor Maurice Duveni, says they'll be working with others to ensure the equipment is replaced or repaired as quickly as possible. He encouraged anyone with any information on what happened to make contact with the PSNI. A man and woman are still being held in connection with the suspected murder of a toddler in County Tyrone. The two-year-old was taken to hospital after an incident at a house in Dungannon on Friday. Sasha Wiley is there.
It's very quiet here in this small estate. Just one single police cordon and a car remains here today at the house where the tragic incident took place. Outside the Blue Line, mourners have left flowers and teddies. A little blue Dora fish and a pink Care Bear are among the items. Police were called to this scene here on Friday. It's understood the child had serious head injuries when they arrived, but she later died in hospital. They then arrested a 32-year-old man on suspicion of her murder and were granted more time to question him. They're also questioning a 24-year-old woman. She's being held on suspicion of perverting the course of justice, causing or permitting the death of a child and child cruelty.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with Gaelic Games. Tyrone's All-Ireland semi-final with Kerry, scheduled for this Sunday, has been put back 6 days to Saturday week, the 21st of August, and the All-Ireland football final will be shifted to Saturday, the 4th of September. The O'Neill County requested a deferral of their clash with the Munster champions as a significant number of players are isolating after positive cases in the panel. Players underwent further testing at the weekend and the results were presented to officials at Croke Park today. Joint manager Fergal Logan and a number of players were unable to attend their recent Ulster final win over Monaghan. The GAA's CCCC said this decision was taken following a status report received by the GAA relating to positive COVID cases in the Tyrone panel. This change will necessitate the GAA Football All-Ireland final being rearranged to take place on Saturday, September 4th. Meanwhile, Tyrone GAA say this evening, "We would welcome the decision of the CCCC to postpone the fixture against Kerry for 6 days. We will continue to comply with all guidelines from the PHA and Croke Park, keeping the health of the players and management as our primary concern." The Ulster Council will confirm the venue for this coming Friday's Ulster Minor Championship final between Donegal and Tyrone later. The game will take place on Friday starting at 7:30, with the venue to be finalised this evening after 6 o'clock. Two of the possible venues will be Brewster Park in Enniskillen or Celtic Park in Derry. Donegal reached the decider by beating Armagh in a tight, low-scoring encounter, while Tyrone thumped Fermanagh by 30 points in the other semi-final. On this week's DL Debate podcast, Brendan Devaney talks
Ulster GA with Cathal O'Kane of the Irish News while we preview the upcoming delayed 2020 Donegal Senior Championship final with former St Union's winning manager and player Brendan Kilcoyne. Brendan is also on the Donegal Minor backroom team. We'll get his thoughts on their Ulster final with Tyrone this coming weekend. That's the DL Debate presented by Brendan Devaney, podcasting on HighlandRadio.com and will be aired just after the 7 o'clock news as well. Romelu Lukaku has completed his medical ahead of a $115 million move from Inter to Chelsea. The fee would be a Chelsea club record, having sold the Belgium striker to Everton 7 years ago for almost a quarter of that fee. Lukaku scored 64 goals in 95 appearances during two seasons with Inter Milan. Liverpool are sweating over the fitness of Andy Robinson ahead of the new season. The defender limped off during their friendly draw with Atletico Bilbao at Anfield on Sunday. He's undergone a scan today to ascertain the extent of the problem. Blackburn manager Tony Mowbray says they're exploring a move for Republic of Ireland striker Michael Obafemi. The 21-year-old is set to fall further down the Saints' pecking order with the arrival of Blackburn striker Adam Armstrong. Obafemi could be set for a move away from Southampton. Coaches at Kelly Harrington's old boxing club are hoping her success will encourage politicians to give more funding. The Corinthian City in Dublin's North City currently has one toilet and shower facilities that are used mainly by males. Harrington's gold medal win at the Tokyo Olympic Games has been roundly praised by politicians. Stephen Malloy, who coaches at the club, hopes that they will also give the club the funding it needs to make badly needed improvements.
At Corinthian's boxing club, it's known for taking in young kids off the streets and giving them the opportunity. Over the last couple of months, it's been really hard because we've been getting so many inundated calls for people to join the club that we not had to turn them away. We had to just sort of put them on hold because we don't want to be bringing young kids into the club where we've only one toilet and only showers for boys and men. Like that's no way to go. And I'm sure that the parents wouldn't like the kids coming into that environment. And this hopefully is going to push it on now that we can get toilets for girls and showers for girls.
And COVID-19 looks set to prevent any formal civic reception for Harrington. She's due to return to Ireland tomorrow. Dublin City Council say they are exploring ways in which Harrington's achievement can be celebrated in a COVID-safe manner. Brian O'Driscoll says the Lions tour of South Africa was not a good advertisement for the sport. A late penalty settled the series in favour of the Springboks on Saturday. O'Driscoll played in four Lions tours, but says he found it difficult to engage with this one.
And maybe that was down to the lack of preparation. Maybe that was down to the circumstances that we're playing in at the moment, that, you know, there hasn't been the time to be able to put a more cohesive game plan from both sides' perspective, you know, particularly the South Africans with their lack of game time. So it just felt as though we got the worst version of what we expected we might get.
Finally, in rallying, Maiden City Motor Club, held the second round of the Northern Ireland Rally Championship over the weekend at Shackleton in Ballykelly. It was won on the very last stage by Desi Henry in his R5 Hyundai. Leading the whole day was Johnny Greer, but a puncture in the last stage moved him out of contention. Second was Donegal lad Aaron McLaughlin in an R5 Fiesta, followed by Stephen Wright, third in a Fiesta as well. That's your sport, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Intertrade Ireland says companies on both sides of the border are firmly in recovery mode as COVID-19 restrictions begin to ease. The agency's latest quarterly report indicates a return to economic momentum, saying three quarters of all businesses are now operational, while over half of SMEs in the tourism and leisure sectors have reopened their doors. Kerry Curran is Intertrade Ireland's Acting Director of Strategy and Policy. She says many firms have investment plans, and that means stability will be key in the weeks and months ahead.
One of the really encouraging things that we're seeing coming through this quarter's business monitor is that the high levels of businesses with investment plans, because investment, particularly investment in innovation, is going to be critical for businesses as they move past the pandemic and the changing trading relationship between the UK and the EU and really stay competitive.
A Derry City and Strabane councillor says the Department for Infrastructure must prioritise the high incidence of flooding in Strabane and take action to ensure that scenes seen at the weekend at Pierce Gardens, Ballycolman, Coram Square, Bridge Street and parts of Lisnafin are not repeated. Councillor Michaela Boyle says the floods were caused in many cases by blocked drains, and the DFI needs to be more proactive in ensuring that drains are clear and there are no obstacles. Councillor Boyle says while some hotspot areas have been checked by the DFI, a full review of the entire network is necessary to see if there are structural problems that need to be addressed in Strabane Town.
They've carried out a number of assessments in the hotspot areas, but they need to be looking at the whole picture. What is causing these drains to block? Now, I know we cut grass, there's leaves falling, all of that there can impact on drains being blocked, but there has to be an overall problem with the underlying undercarriage structure of the network of pipes that we have.
Is it the case that too much of what's being done is reactive? What seems to be happening time and again is the DFI response is a response to something that's happened already, not a response to something that could happen in the future.
Absolutely. And, you know, there was areas that had never been flooded before. It was to do with blocked drains. They could have had the preparatory work done in that regard, you know, throughout the year, cleaning the drains, desalting them. But you're absolutely right. You know, there is an issue with the overall structure of the system in Strabane Town, and that needs to be looked at in the whole. You know, we can't have a piecemeal, you know, looked at here and looked at there. The whole structure needs to be looked at. They're well aware of the problems that exist in Strabane. They're well aware of the issues. They know what needs to be done, and they need to act now. But the people are just fed up with us.
And that was Councillor Michaela Boyle there speaking to us from Strabane. Just taking a look at the weather forecast for today, Monday. It'll be cloudy with a few showers this evening, some possibly thundery for a time, but brighter weather coming in, and this evening should be a lot brighter and drier with the better conditions coming in from the northwest. It'll stay mainly dry and clear at first tonight with just isolated showers. Cloud amounts will increase toward dawn with some mist patches forming as well. Lows of 9 to 12 degrees Celsius, light westerly or variable breezes. Tomorrow Tuesday will be largely dry for most of the day with just a few patches of light rain or drizzle. It'll stay cloudy with some sunny breaks. Highs tomorrow 17 to 20 degrees Celsius in light to moderate westerly breezes. And that's Highland Radio News. Looking at some Northwest stories in brief, and the HSE will start vaccinating 12 to 15 year olds against COVID-19 this weekend. The registration portal will open on Thursday. Appointments will be offered immediately. Donegal GP Dr. Dennis McCauley says getting this age cohort vaccinated will be a significant step. Nurses say they're becoming increasingly concerned about the situation in overcrowded hospitals with a lack of airflow and ventilation. There were 381 patients waiting beds in hospitals across the country this morning, 39 of them in the Northwest. Of those, 13 were at Letterkenny University Hospital and 26 were in Sligo. The president of Letterkenny Institute of Technology has confirmed that all students will return to full lecture halls and classrooms for the first time since the pandemic began. Paul Hannigan says it's because of the work that's been done in the sector. Next news is at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 9th of August. The death has taken place of Kathleen McCallion, 10, Chestnut Park, Strabane. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on melmountparish.com. The death has taken place of Mary Webb, née Coyle, Essex, England, and formerly of Maher McGorigan, Carrigart. Mary's funeral will take place in Essex at a later date. The death has occurred of Edith Brown, Drumcliff, Donegal Town, formerly of the Atlantic Guest House, Main Street, Donegal Town. Funeral service in Donegal Parish Church at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, followed by burial in Glebe Cemetery, Donegal Town. Funeral service can be viewed on facebook.com/Donegal Group of Parishes. The house is strictly private, please. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the funeral is restricted to 50 people.
The death has occurred of Eamon Dunphy, 17, Millfield Heights, Buncrana, originally of Dublin. Eamon's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Cockhill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Cockhill. Due to government and HSE guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred of John McHugh, Derry O'Connell, Duhurry. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Connell's Church, Duhurry, with interment afterwards in the new graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are strictly private, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. And the death has taken place of Liam McGrath, 122, Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. Removal from his late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 to St Enan's Cathedral for funeral mass at 11 o'clock, with interment in the family plot in Conwell Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted.